All right, guys, you need to find your people. It's time to be sitting down. Once you've found your people, get your group of four and have a seat. I got a question for you to talk about.
There's no way you four girls got the same car.
Yeah.
That is ridiculous. Same color back? Keep looking.
Jesse, you got a card? An eight? What color in the back? Okay. In your group, I have two questions. And you don't have a lot of time, so you got to dive right in. First question is, what freedom means the most to you right now and why? What freedom in life means the most to you right now and why? Okay, dive in. Okay, in Spanish. No, English. What freedom? What freedom means the most to you right now and why? All right, question number two. Question number two. What would it take for us to lose our freedoms? What would it take for us to lose our freedoms? Okay, if you guys could rotate your chairs around to the front, we're going to give you a video montage from the coffee house. It's also a privilege I have to introduce to you a student that I've had. I've known her for probably all her life. Her mother, is that right? No, her aunt was in the youth group with me. So, I mean, there's some things that obviously go way back. But she had the opportunity over this last year to really kind of pursue God. And with a mission organization called Youth with a Mission. You'll hear it called YWAM for short. It's a lot of words. But I'd asked if Eva Tresker would come and share with you kind of what did God teach her as he stretched her quite a bit more than most just out of high school students. So give it up for Eva. Eva, where are you?
Hey guys, so like Bob said, my name's Eva, and I graduated from high school last year. And so around the time when college applications were due, I applied to lots of different colleges. But I knew my relationship with God wasn't where I wanted it to be, and I really just wanted to know God more. So I decided, like several of my other siblings had done, to go to YWAM, Youth with a Mission, and do their discipleship training school. And what it is it's a six-month program, and the first 3 months is called lecture phase. And for 12 weeks, you have a different topic every week, all about your personal relationship with God. So there are topics like evangelism, repentance and forgiveness, the Father heart of God, the character of God, different topics like that. And then the next 3 months, you go on an outreach. And so it's basically like a short-term mission trip prolonged for 3 months. So, and then after that, so I packed my bags, took a very long flight to Perth, Australia, which is where I did my lecture phase. And then the outreach was for 2 months in Cape Town, South Africa, and for 1 month in Southeast Asia, the country of Cambodia. And after I finished that, I went on with YWAM and did a school called School of Frontier Missions, and it was another three-month school to prepare me to what I'm going to do next, which is next I will be going to China to work with YWAM for 2 years to work with them in evangelism and church planning on a team. So God really taught me so much through that, and I think two of probably the biggest things that I saw God teach me. One was just about my responsibility is to share with people and to plant the seeds, but that it's going to be God that makes it grow. And sometimes God really works in incredibly unexpected ways. And I just had the privilege of being able to work in ministry and to see God do incredible things. In South Africa, we worked with a high school, with a youth group, with several different churches. We did a lot of discipleship in a public high school. And for 2 weeks, we were in this half-built church in a very impoverished part of Cape Town. Cape Town is still very segregated. And so every day we would have a little bit of time off, and all the neighborhood kids would come to play with us in the sand parking lot of the church. So every day we would play with all these little kids. Every day they would bring more, 20, sometimes 30, sometimes 50 kids would come to play with our team. And from the very start, this one little boy, his name was Denver, stood out to us as the leader in a bad way. He was the most rude. He was the most loud. He was the one who would push other kids out of the way. He was probably about eight or maybe even 10, we don't really know, years old. And we knew he was a foster child. So we just kept playing with him, loving on him. He would come to our children's programs. He would come to everything that we did. And then about the middle of the time we were there, we started to see a change in him. He would do things like if he was holding one of our hands, he would let go and let a little girl hold our hands instead. And we just started to see these little changes progress. And then he came to church on Sunday and sat through a South African service, which is 4 hours long. And at the end, we asked if anyone wanted prayer. And so little Denver, he raised his hand, and I went over to him because I was closest. He said, "Denver, what do you want prayer for?" And he didn't really know much, but he said that he wanted to be a good kid, and that something through the service, something through the love that we had shown him, showed him that he wanted to be a good boy. And so I asked him if he had ever received Christ, and he said no, and that he didn't really know what that meant. So I explained the gospel to him, and after that, he said that he still wanted to receive Christ into his heart. And so we prayed with him, and after that he came to every single service, even 2 hour long prayer meetings, the only kid there. And we just saw such a radical transformation in his life. The church members didn't want him around before that because he was known as the troublemaker in the neighborhood. And after that, they all welcomed him in and loved him, and one of the ladies talked about adopting him. So it was just really exciting because when we first got there, if I would have to choose who I thought, you know, we would have impacted, Denver probably would have been the last person I would have chosen. But it was just really cool to see how God moved just in such unexpected ways. And just the love of Christ is just so incredibly powerful just to touch this little boy's life. So I learned another big thing that I learned was about stepping out in my faith. And really living out what I believe, because I've always believed that God is good and that God has a plan for my life and that God is all loving and all powerful. But I hadn't really given my life over to God. And so through that, before I left, I was already enrolled in Grove City College in Pennsylvania. And that's where I was going to go when I got back. And through the lecture phase in Australia around August, God was just challenging me to lay all those things down. And I was reading in the Gospels, and Jesus was talking about the cost of discipleship and the cost of leaving your family, leaving everything for following Christ. And so I knew that that didn't necessarily mean that I was called to missions or that that God wanted me to do that, but I knew that I at least had to be open to wherever he led me. And so throughout that time, God had been, there had been several different ministries that they had come and talked to us about doing. And every time I thought, wow, that sounds really great. But then the next day I'd forget about it. And then they talked to us about the ministry they had in China. They have a team of 70 people there in about 6 different cities in China. And for some reason with that, it really stuck with me. I really kept thinking about it. But I really didn't know how it was possible. So I just really prayed through it. And I was scared to death. I remember writing in my journal, "I can't believe this is me. I can't believe the words are coming out of my mouth. I thought I already had a plan." But I just really gave it over to God, and I asked him to tell me if he wanted me to go, where and when he wanted me to go. So he clearly was directing me towards China and to stay in Australia and to do the school in January. And so I kept on stepping out, and finding more information, talking to my leaders and my family about it. And the more I stepped out, the more peace I had that that really was where God wanted me. And even though I didn't have any of the money for the January school, I had no idea where everything was going to come through. But through that time, I saw God faithfully provide for me in miraculous ways, through my family providing for me, through different people, through one person that I had asked gave a really large gift that I wasn't expecting at all. And sometimes it was down to the days where I needed a few hundred extra dollars to change my plane ticket. And I had to change my plane ticket on Friday, and it was Wednesday, and I didn't have the money. But I kept praying and trusting God, and the money came through miraculous ways. And so I was able to stay on and do the school to prepare for going to China. And I'm really excited to go because the city that I'm going to, there's less than 1% Christians. And most often you will, from what I've heard, when they are doing evangelism, when they go on the streets and they ask people if they've heard of Jesus, people will say, the large majority of people will say they've never even heard of the name of Jesus, or they think he's maybe a celebrity in America. they just have no idea. And so I'm just really excited to be a part of a team there, a team being able to share the gospel with people and to really see people reach for the gospel. And I think just to really sum up the last 9 months is the Bible verse in Psalms where it says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." And I really have, and I'm really excited to go deeper with God and to, just to seek him more, because I know that there is so much more to learn of him. So thanks for letting me share with you guys.